This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
A lot of people are scared to get off track and get off their set they practice in the mirror. Don't be scared. If you're doing comedy, you believe you're funny already. That's the first step. You got to. You can't be doing comedy if you think you're stupid and not funny. So believe in that when you're doing improv and off the cuff stuff. Believe in you're funny.
Howdy ho, Hot Breathiverse. It's your boy, comedian Joel Byers, and you know what time it is. Hot breath. Oh, that feels good. Welcome to the Hot Breathiverse, all my hot brethren and sistren. This is an exciting episode we have coming up to you because this is a repeat guest. The gentleman I'm interviewing today is back in episode 92. We recorded it almost a year to the date I'm releasing this. And what's interesting when you listen to this one is a lot of what we talked about in the first episode. He like has a vision board and really creating your own success is what we got into, and a lot of tactical tips you can do the same for your career. He's actually doing that now. A year later, things we talked about on his vision board are actually happening right now. He's on a show called Bossip that got picked up for a second season, and they're moving to LA to film it. He was talking about not getting on Wild 'N Out, and now this year he's on Wild 'N Out. There's so many different things you can learn from each of these episodes, so I would highly recommend diving back into Hot Breath episode number 92 when you get a chance after this one, or stop right now, go listen to the first one, and then hop on board this one, because we do make some references between the two, but either way, you're going to be able to keep up, because he has been one of my favorite comedians since I started comedy, and it's been a thrill to watch him grow and actually be able to capture this really big moment in his career. So you're going to be enjoying this one, learning a lot about hosting and what it's like to work on a TV show and tips and tricks for performance and just overall creativity. So you picked the right one to tune into, because this is Hot Breath. Every single Monday, this is your guide to comedy mastery. I interview comedy masters about their mastery, if that even makes sense. I should probably interview someone about how to do a complete sentence that wasn't inspired by a liberal arts degree. But anyway, I think we've said enough here. So now it is time, hot brethren and sistren, as there is only one thing left to do, and that is inhale a hot breath with Tyler Chronicles.
DJ Amon Garner.
DJ Amon. The ones and twos.
Well, let's get it then. Here we go. That was good, dude.
Oh, word.
Can you beatbox?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
You're just cool.
This checks. Okay, yeah. This mouth makes money with words.
And he is getting money.
Yeah.
Dude, I appreciate you taking the time to even do this, dude.
Appreciate you, man. I also can't hear out of these, so is it fine if I drop them?
Oh. Can DJ?
Yeah, just talk about it.
Yeah, it's not even a buzz.
Oh, what about now?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, now we on?
Yeah, we on now.
We on? Yeah, I'm good. Mine were super loud, too. Maybe I just gave all the juice to mine.
Yeah, man.
I was trying to beat you to it, man. That's how I was on your podcast, More Than Culture, and I opened up with, all right, here comes the colonizer. Because I knew that was going to be coming out.
You colonizing everything. You got me in a trap house. It's the first white dude ever brought me to the Trinap. I love it. As soon as I pulled up on the gravel, I was like, oh, shit, where's my pistol?
Nah, bring you back to your Inglewood days, my man.
You feel me?
Yeah.
It looks nice over here, though, actually.
Yeah, we out here. Yeah. This is good. This is Amon Garner, man. He's the man with the plan. Oh,
my God. Bassist / engineer. What do you make beats to?
Yeah.
I see you got a tambourine over there. Only people that make beats got tambourines. I'm going to let you slide.
We've done the trap in, we did internet radio a minute ago, too.
A minute ago. Can you remember how long ago that was? I can't.
It was the three. No, it was over.
About
it,
four, maybe.
It was 4 years ago?
Maybe 4 years.
All I know is that I was still wearing dress pants.
Yo, you don't wear dress pants no more?
Nah,
not. Dress pants was your shit, though.
Dress pants. Because, like, I was under the impression, I was like, it's as close to pajamas as I can get without it being actual pajama pants.
Right.
And then looking back. Yeah,
that was a white man sweatpants. Dress pants. Your khakis. And damn cotton dockers. Wrinkle-resistant cotton dockers is the white man's joggers.
I had to get out of there. I had to get married and come up.
So your wife made you stop wearing that shit?
She never made me do anything.
Nice.
She always just let me work it out myself.
Just drop subtle hints.
That's how I know she loves me, is because she knew me with the mustache. She knew me rocking Henleys and dress pants and Rockports. Yo, wow. I was all the way out there.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. Damn. Shout her out.
Shout out to my wife, Erin Byers. She also made the theme song for Hot Breath.
Woo!
And we have a podcast called Byers Life, too, if we're just going to plug.
Out. Yeah.
That ain't the thing, though.
You done found you one.
I found me a real one, dude. I know you're a little
Congratulations.
Busy. You're a little busy to have a real one right now, I guess. You working, dude.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm too busy. Correct. Number one. Number two, I've been very fortunate enough to have my work be appreciated and people want to.
And that's what on our first interview, which was like episode 90, we recorded this actually.
Yo, how many episodes are you on?
140.
What?
Yeah, man.
Come on, man.
Yo.
You're supposed to start off by saying that.
Let him do it. Let him do it. We've moved up.
Hell yeah.
The last time I interviewed you, I had labeled water, but it was labels I made. And then now we got hooked up by Fontas Water.
Oh.
We got our own Georgia Spring Water.
What? Your educated escape. Hot Breath with Joel Byers.
JoelByers.com.
Nice, man.
It's a Fontas exclusive. So that's your water to take with you and do
I got my one over there, so I'll take both of them.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
My guy, he's sponsored now.
Yeah, we out here.
Come on, man. My boy got his own water. Look at you, 49 cents.
And it was cool to interview you now as you're making another big transition. Is the first time we interviewed each other, which is just a little over a year ago, I interviewed you. And it was, you were in this new beginning of a transition where you just started a TV show, you just started this tour you're doing, and now both are on another level, man.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been a year since we started that. Like, Bossip on WeTV, which was filmed in Atlanta, was started around this time last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that went really well. So they picked it up again. It's going to be an hour long.
Instead of 30 minutes?
Yeah, they made it an hour. They liked it that much. They're like, yo, we're going to make it an hour. Coming on Thursdays after the Braxtons, Family Values, which is the most popular show on the network, which is really dope. And then I'm be moving to LA in a couple of days to film, start doing that, and with the tour, it's kind of it rose, but now it's kind of on hold because all three of us are busy right now. Darren wilding out, Ronnie and myself with Bossip, but we have some dates set, kind of in August, August, pretty much from August on through the fall and stuff. So yeah, it's been great, man. It's just like when you can see the work, you seeing the work,
right,
before you came to my house with your phone and
it was no little, video, man. There no was video. Nothing.
Yep, no video. Had the little microphone ball, I believe. Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying, but it's like you kept going. You put in the work, and now you're at 140. Insane.
Yeah, in a studio. It's so dope.
Yeah.
And part of what you inspired me is thinking of the vision and where you want to be.
Okay.
Is that, you think that still plays a big part in your success now?
Hell yeah. Because a lot of stuff that I'm doing is something that I talked about, or somebody told me that they can see me doing. It's always been something. So like stuff that's happening is awesome, but it's not surprising. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I'm waiting for. So even when on the long days, like, you know, working with Wildin' Out this season coming up, season 12, I'm a creative consultant, which means I write for Nick Cannon and then pretty much all the special guests that come on the show and some of the cast members, everybody on the show. Uh-huh. I should just say that because I mentioned everybody except the producers. We write for the producers too. Nah, but yeah, so that's cool. And, they're actually dropping me in a few episodes this year.
What?
Yeah. I shot my first episode a couple of days ago.
Because you were just killing it?
Because I was just killing it.
Dude, I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, but now, you know what was crazier than that, though? It was before I was even killing it. So they commissioned us to come. Myself and Clayton English, shout out.
Both been on here, yeah.
ATL Comedy.
No doubt.
This thing. Both of us are creative consultants on the show, so we all do the same thing. And the first day before we even started the warm up with the new talent or anything, Nick Cannon walked over to both of us and was like, letting us know what he wanted from us, in terms of how to help with the new people. And he was like, yeah, but make sure y'all jump into some of the games that we're practicing because we're going to put y'all on some episodes. So this is before we even started. So,
okay.
So that was refreshing. That was a real dope moment. And I also do a crowd warm up. Too, they'll let me do that if I have some time when I'm not prepping the special guests before the show. I'll go out there and do about 10 minutes for the crowd, get them hyped up.
Yo, so are you the guest comes in? The guest, it's all the celebrities, whoever go on Wildin' Out.
Yeah.
So you're
so yesterday,
the guy,
Ludacris, yeah. OT Genesis, and uh-huh. Ray Shrummert were the people I had to prep for the show. You know what I'm saying?
What does that look like?
Man, okay, so the first show was Ray Shrummert. They were late as hell, obviously.
Well, no doubt.
Yeah, but they were great, man. They had been on the show already, so it wasn't too much.
How late were they, though?
As hell.
Is that a time frame? Is that a couple hours?
Listen, every time you're on a set and white people are sprinting, you know something's fucked up. So they got there late, so we got to prep them and didn't take, it wasn't that long, but they are talented because they didn't have that long before they got on stage to do their mic check in the show, but they went and did their thing on the show. They're good with improv. They were coming back on the rap part, so that was dope. Ludacris was super prepared. You know what I'm saying? Well, I wouldn't say super prepared, but he read the email, looked at the videos that we sent him in terms of examples. He was ready. Mm-hmm. He hit Nick with a couple shots during the games and in the Wild Style. And then OT Genesis, you know what I'm saying? He was really cool. He played some of the games. He even played the props game. So it was dope just to see these hardcore rappers fucking playing a props improv game. You know what I'm saying?
Are they nervous before the show?
Some of them are. Nervous is probably not the right word, but they're just kind of curious about how it's going to go. You know what I'm saying? Because it's funny because you would think the rappers, since the show is mostly about kind of freestyle improv, but to a beat, a lot of the games, you would think they're fit right in, but a lot of them don't do that. A lot of rappers don't battle rap. They don't freestyle. They don't go back and forth. You know what I'm saying? And then there's a faction of battle rappers that actually do that all the time. So, they'll be a little nervous about that. Damn, man, I ain't freestyled in a long time. And, it's live. It's one shot. It's stand up. You know what I mean? They only give you one shot. They may go back a little bit if something's too messed up or some technical stuff. But other than that, it's real improv, you know what I'm
right,
saying?
Live,
it's one shot deal. You mess up, you out, you messed up. You know what I mean? So yeah, they do get a little bit anxious, I would say.
I would imagine. And you being their contact point.
We come out after the break, after every game, make sure they know what they're supposed to say the next game or if they're gonna get in it.
Wow.
Or run it by us again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And they cling to us a little bit. You could tell the ones that are a little more anxious. They're like, hey, what's going on, man? How'd I do? Dwight Howard. Uh-huh. I forgot he was on. Dwight Howard, he was dope. He was dope. He he's goofy, so he was really into it. You know what I'm saying? So he was fun to work with. And he had some, we wrote him a Wild Style, and it was pretty good, and he liked it. But when the show started, he did his own thing, and it was boom. Killed. Yeah.
So way better.
Dope. Yeah, it was way better than what we had.
That's what's cool about seeing behind the scenes of Wildin' Out. And I've interviewed a couple of people. I've interviewed Darren, you referenced, and Jacob Williams, who's on
Shout out to Jake. Hey, Jake came out to Cats when I hosted the week.
Yeah, yeah. He did my show the next night. And then he hopped on the podcast.
I told him about it. Okay, good. I'm glad he went up. That's dope.
Yeah, he was very, he's so unassuming. And it's always, I think Darren did an Instagram story of the after party this week.
He was just sitting there waiting for his bus. Jake don't bob his head none, man. I don't know what's, I ain't never seen one, I don't care what color you are. Music is on for 4 hours straight and you never bob your head once. That's insane.
And you guys, it was cool to see the behind the scenes of it being filmed in Atlanta and everybody posting videos. And Wildin' Out seems like this completely just off the rails show, but you guys rehearsed in the hotel, like,
oh yeah, yeah,
for a while.
It's a workshop, so it's needed because a lot of the people, especially the new cast members, are trying to think of the right word. They're not performers per se. They're Instagram stars. So everything they do is to a phone and it's recorded. They haven't done any live shows in front of crowds. So you gotta, you know, it takes a while.
No
and they,
doubt.
You got 2 weeks basically to give someone a crash course in improv and stand up and singing and rapping. So yeah, it's a pretty intense situation, but it's good. Like, it's good to see them grow. You feel like a coach. You know what I'm saying? Cause it's like you give them good jokes, but it's the delivery. You know what I'm saying? That's the main disconnect with people that don't live and die on stage. Like, shout out to Mope Williams. Mope is doing well on the show, and I believe it's mostly due to, he doesn't have as many followers as everybody else, but it's mostly due to him living and dying on stage. Mm-hmm. You can't substitute those, you know, those feelings right there and get and pushing through both. Like, being humble enough to let the good times know, like, I still need to work on this and this and this. Or going through the bad times, like, okay, that was just a bad time, I could push through. Or fixing a bad time in the middle of the bad time on stage. You know what I'm saying? Learning how to do that. So you can see it in people that don't do that. They go up and they mess up. And then you can see it affect them every time they get back up again. You know what I mean?
They start to kind of shrink a little bit. They lose that.
Yeah, because they never have that. They've never won or lost. Everything's been everything I post. Ha, ha, ha. This is so funny. You're the greatest.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we have to had to kind of break down and build up.
That's why I love stand-up, because I feel like it prepares you for everything.
Everything.
You want to be a writer? You want to be an actor? You want to be a director? You want to be an editor? Yep. I feel like it prepares you for all that.
Yeah, I never feel out of place no matter what gig I'm getting. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's writing, producing, anything, acting, whatever, hosting, I never feel out of place because of stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And especially Atlanta stand-up. Doing stand-up here and all the weird places that we have to do
stand-up
in, and the types of people that we have to make laugh and the types of environments that we're in. And also being around other really sharp, really dope comedians, all of that together just prepares us for, you know, the blow up.
Which is what you're currently experiencing.
Come on now. I feel like I have the tank, the helium tank, you know what I'm saying?
And
I can hear it turning. I'm like, the balloon ain't went up yet, but I can hear it coming. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah. I mean, you're about to jump to LA.
Yes, indeed.
To film season 2 of your show.
Yes, indeed.
That's a big leap. A lot of comedians think about and hear about is, okay, it's time to move to LA or New York. Mm-hmm. What are you experiencing right now? What are you feeling?
Well, going back vision wise.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was something I would talk about a lot, but, you know, in the comedy community, everybody asks says you need to move to LA, or when you move into LA. Mm-hmm. And I would always say, when I get moved there. That was always my answer. So it's, you know what I'm saying? That's nothing.
That's how I feel too.
You feel me? Yeah. So when it came to fruition. So that's what I'm feeling right now. That's dope that came about. And I'm really excited because, once again, I'm really fortunate to and blessed to be on television for my first times. And be being myself, you know what I mean? It's cool to be an actor or whatever, but if you can be yourself on TV and then write for yourself, it just makes it more natural. So I'm really happy about that, and they're putting a lot on our shoulders creative-wise and producing-wise for this show. So a lot of myself and Ronnie's DNA was on the show last year, and it'll be on the show again this year, which is really dope. I think, I don't know if I can say this. When is this coming out?
When does it need to? If you want to wait.
No, it's fine. I can say this. I believe they're going to have like a segment with me and Ronnie interviewing people in the car.
Oh, okay.
With the innuendo of the California grassery.
That it's only on brand.
Come on.
It's only on brand.
Come on. We pitched it and they liked it.
Hashtag the chronic comic.
Come on now. Me and my homie Lazy Eye, we out here. That's so funny. We get on the videos, he's like, is my eye straight? Am I good?
That's how that's how you have the gas.
That's how you know it's that good weed right there.
Yeah. Like, how's my eye?
It's so funny, man. Me and Ronnie are like 5 days apart in age, but he acts like 30 years older than me.
It's hilarious. Funny, dude. Yes. I'm so jealous you guys can get high and do stuff. I had to quit because I just can't do both.
You cannot. I agree.
Yeah, you've been there.
I'm glad you quit. I hate you started.
Nah, I shut down. It's one of those things I guess just kind of grew out of where my brain's like, nah.
And sometimes My thing is this: what you think about weed is what weed is. So if you think weed, no, seriously. So if you think you need weed to eat, that's what weed is for you. If you think you need weed to be funny, that's what weed is for you. If you think weed freaks you out, that's what weed is for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a cerebral drug that it, whatever you think about it is probably what you're going to feel about it.
But there's some comics, and it could be like, you know, some people have to drink before they go on stage. Some people have to smoke before they go on stage. But for like a younger comic, would you almost be like, I would recommend going up sober so you don't create like that kind of dependency.
I remember Clayton talking to a young comic when I was kind of like, I was in the game for about 3 years at the end, so I was had a good handle on it. But I remember him talking to one comic. She was saying that she, you know, always needed weed to go up because it like calms her down. And he was saying, I suggest that you do a few shows sober for those times where you won't be able to smoke, you know, like if you're in a arena or, you know, convention center or just where it's not appropriate to smoke, you're going to need to know that you can do this.
Right.
So that's my advice passed down from Clayton English. I mean, I smoke all the time, so it wasn't really a thing for me. But if the comedians out there that are like me and that smoke all the time, do sober shows, you know, enough to know that, all right, I can do it. You know what I'm saying? It's fine. Because then, if you're fortunate enough to make it on TV, filming and prep lasts so long, unless you're smoking on your show, you're probably not going to be high by the time they say action.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's something people don't see on TV is, oh, it's a half hour show, but it's like, oh, that one shot took 3 hours
just
to set
up. Yeah, we've been
here
since 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But now that you're on your own show, you're actually like kind of the face of the show as well. Like you're the middle, you're like the quarterback.
Right. I won't say that publicly, but but like I said, they do put a lot on my shoulders in terms of creating the segments and, you know, letting me say what I want to say and helping people out, you know, with the funny. Because if we could back it up, I don't even know if I said this last podcast, but like Bossip kind of started leaning towards funny when we did this. We did this pilot episode, episodic pilot for Bossa, but it was more like a sitcom. So it was written episodes, and then we did like 7 of them. And, you know, it was supposed to be funny. They didn't really pick it up, but they liked me and kept me on at Bossa for the website. So I was doing like just funny terms on what the stories that they had. So then they came back and was like, well, what if we just do like a kind of reality live funny show about it with the guy you got? You know what I'm saying? So, and I was like, all right, cool, we'll do it. Because they tried to push the sitcom like hard, but nobody really was. Because it was hard to do that sitcom about current events and then you tape it and then it comes out 3 months later and that
exactly.
It's not current. So now they decided, all right, well, let's do a show. We film it one day and it comes out the next day. So it's current as hell, but we got to make it funny. Because that's the thing, people come to Bossip now, especially on their Twitter, like their headlines are killing. Like even New York Times wrote about their writers and the headlines that they write and how funny they are. Yeah.
Whoa.
Because they'll get people to respond. They'll get on your skin or the shit will just be so funny. Their alliteration is crazy. So, hey, shout out to all the, like, follow Bossip on Twitter. You need to, bro. It's hilarious. Uh-huh. But shout out to all the the writers over there at Bossip that work for the actual website. Super dope people, super funny, super creative.
You mentioned getting under people's skin. Have you have personal experience with that? Any blowback?
Yeah, it didn't come straight to me. It came to legal for the show, though.
It came to legal.
Yeah, I had to come to the studio at like 2 a.m. to film an apology clip for Smokey Robinson, of all people. So I'm trying to make this short story fucking shorter. So I did a segment. We have not only the bullpen segment like TMZ has, but we also have the, it ain't like TMZ, but we sit, people look at it like we're sitting in the office pitching stories that we're going to be writing for today. But the other segment is standing in front of a green screen with one particular topic. I had a topic and it was Bossip for Your Granny. So it was about older celebrities. You know what I'm saying? So I had a thing about Dionne Warwick and Aretha Franklin having beef. Another story, I can't remember who it was. And then one story about, it was reported in this article that Smokey Robinson was single He's like 70 something, right? So I made up something about, you know, a lot of old women chasing him and all that stuff. His wife must have got mad.
Oh.
And sent something to legal, I mean to us, and was like, yeah, you know, he's happily married and, you know, you don't need to be spreading false rumors. So I had to go back and film an apology because of that. So it reached him. I also did a thing about Mariah Carey. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't mean. I thought it was funny. But, you know, when people have like real fanatics instead of fans, you're going to get some blowback. Somebody's like, if somebody don't get this black gum bastard off. That was the funniest comeback I saw. And then one dude was like, damn, he had did a quote from somebody talking about dudes gossiping like something. I forgot what it was. Mm-hmm. Basically saying gossip like women. But in his picture, his profile picture, he was like sucking on a straw out of a cup, looking real feminine. Bruh. I was like, yeah, it takes one to know one.
Hey.
Ma'am.
Then you dab on him. I don't know. I know. Even me just saying dab, they're like, oh, look at him.
You love the dab, man. You're keeping it alive. You got to be the only one keeping it alive.
Dude, I do it my class every week. I did a week one. I do it every single week. They wait
I'm
on it.
I'm telling you, you got to be the only one. They need to like slide you some residual.
Hey, I'll take that.
Hell yeah, the dab residual.
I'll put
insane.
I'll put it on my vision board.
Yeah.
That's what we went in on deep at the last episode. Right. Pause.
Good job, Joe.
Oh man, I'm learning. On the last interview, yeah, you went into detail about your vision board and how specific you are on what you're trying to achieve and
correct
how you're trying to attain it.
Yes, yes. For anybody that didn't catch the last episode that I was on, fuck you. Number one. Number two, I was talking about, you know, some people say, I want to be an actor. I want to be a comedian. I want to be a singer. So I read this book. Shit, which one was it? Was it?
Think.
Yeah. Think and Grow Rich. And it gave me, it helped me out with my vision board in terms of, all right, you know what you want to do. What's the steps to get there?
Mm-hmm.
So I was being very specific on how I'm going to get these steps. Like, I'm going to go and I'm going to write on something every day. I'm going to create something every day. I'm going to try to write a new joke. I'm going to try to write a new story. I'm going to try to comment on a current event and make it funny. Even if I don't post it or do it, I just want to make sure I do it. And that's why I was going up to the studio that you came to do the More Than Culture podcast.
Hey, now.
And was doing that every day and just was creating and, you know, making my opportunities, people seeing me working, all that together with the vision is, you know, what I feel like really helped me get to where I'm at, you know?
And what you were talking about a year ago is what is happening now. It's crazy.
Yes.
One of the specific things you said was, the Boss Up Show had just started, and you're like, we're doing a 6-episode trial run. I'm seeing this getting picked up and going into multiple seasons. And now you're on season 2.
Yep.
Moving to LA.
Season 2, with right now we got a 10-episode deal, which is dope. They moved it up to an hour, like I said. They're linking us with the number one show on the network already. And it's, you know, hopefully we get some of their fans off top.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, shit. Just the work's been working. The work has been working, man. So, and it's one of those shows that could be like, all right, it's popular. We like it. It's a current event show. It's now news. So we could possibly come on once a week for the whole year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's possible to do that.
And when people see you on a TV show, all they see is you on screen being funny. What are some of the behind the scenes work people may not realize is there?
All the writing, number one, that goes into it. They did a good job the first season of like making it look really natural, and it kind of was because we kept our comments of what we were going to say to ourselves so that we could get a natural reaction. The research that goes into it, our research and the production or whatever you want to call it, team. Finding stories, making sure they're true, you know, really checking with legal on some of these things, you know, because you get sued for saying false things about people on TV. So that's another thing, running stuff through legal is another thing people don't get. And then you'll have some jokes that you think are crazy good. And then since the turnaround is so fast, you won't know it, but the next day it won't make it. And they're like, yeah, we had to cut it last minute. Legal said da, 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 da. Like, we had to read, like, it was a, like 17 R. Kelly stories last year. And we did a bunch of jokes on him, and the only one that really made it on air was me putting a mask on that he usually wears and started talking like him. Uh-huh. That was the only thing that really made it. So that's a lot of stuff that people don't really know.
Mm. And when a TV show, when you're saying I'm going to LA to film a TV show, is the show like physically moving you out there? They're paying for everything, putting Correct. You up and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah. We were talking before we got on air. A lot of people, you know, when you're doing comedy in, I guess, smaller markets, Atlanta is a big comedy market, but it's a smaller entertainment market for now. It's mm-hmm. on the way up for sure. But people are like, yeah, when you moving to LA, when you moving to New York? And my answer would always be when I get moved out there. Mm-hmm. So that part of the vision, that part of, you know, putting that in the atmosphere is now coming to fruition. It's like, now they're like, okay, we like the show. It was filmed in Atlanta. I think it cost them a little bit less to film it in LA right. with the people behind the scenes wise. So like, we're going to bring, you know, the cast out to LA and film this thing. We're going to put you up. They putting us up like not that far away from the studio.
Oh, I thought you were about to say not that great.
Oh, no. I don't know. The living arrangement should be good because a lot of people that are there for short term doing filming and stuff like that, a lot of actors, writers, producers, they stay in the same building. Okay. So it's like a college dorm for entertainment.
Whoa.
Entertainment. Yeah, so that should be pretty dope. And we're a few feet from like, well, not a few feet, but walking distance from like CBS Studios and Paramount and all those things are like right in the area. Yeah, right at the bottom of Beverly Hills, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, a long way from Inglewood.
Yeah. Yeah, not physically, but yeah, definitely.
Yeah, where you are now, dude.
Yes, indeed.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. You know, you've been there for a while. You've seen the processes.
No doubt.
Yeah, man.
And that's why I think it's a good note for people is just, like you said, the work is working.
The work is working, man. Don't ever stop it because you won't see it.
I feel like something I've recently learned is to just focus on being funny
mm-hmm.
and then let your opportunities come through that as opposed to like, why isn't this happening? I want to
right.
be.
Yeah, because I mean, there's a few people that have, I think that just kind of like force things to happen for them. I just don't feel like I was one of those people. So that's why I say go with that. Go with the funny and then things will happen for you. But there's some people that really like, forced. So I think like the Instagram comedians is probably the best example I can give
mm-hmm.
in terms of like they're going to force themselves on you. Like you're going to see videos from them. People are going to be reposting them. You know, they're constant with it. They're constant with it. Even if it's like I know for a fact some of them put stuff out just because they need to have a video out that day. They don't care about if it's as funny as the last one or, you know,
right.
one-upping themselves. They just have to do it. But that's part of them putting themselves out there to the world, like, hey, I'm here too. Our way of putting ourselves out to the world is, you know, we're hitting the stages, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's gonna see this. Somebody's going to need my pen. Somebody's gonna need the way I perform at some point. And, you know, that's how it is. We're not so much like, okay, everybody in the world needs to see everything I do.
Yeah.
It's two different sides.
Yeah, you talked about auditioning for Wild 'N Out but not having quote enough followers, and now a year later you're on Wild 'N Out. That's crazy, man. That's so cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, man, it's been real cool. I think it's a lesson in everything coming with time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In your time, because like, so say if I made Wild 'N Out, I may not have had the opportunity to get the Boss Up show, you know what I'm saying, which is a show that I control a lot of. You know what I'm saying? The Wild 'N Out is, you might get a moment or two here, but I'm on the whole show for an hour. You feel me?
Yeah, and I've started posting questions or like asking the Hot Breathiverse for questions mm-hmm. about my guests as before they're coming up.
Okay.
And one of them was actually from a Jay Ward.
Jay Ward.
My guy.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. Shout out to Jay Ward, man. Jay Ward makes me feel like the best comedian in the world. Like every one or 2 years on Facebook, he'll drop something, or like I'll post something underneath. He'll be like, hey, man, you're the best comedian in the world. Appreciate you. And then, ride that housey.
Yeah, hashtag ride that housey, he said. So
what's his question?
His question was, in short, he had something about his show Sweetwater and how is it grandfathered in because he's been doing it so long.
Mm-hmm.
But the main question was, why is your desk higher on Boss Up?
That's funny as hell. That was a compromise. They have everybody else sitting, and I think I'm funnier when I'm standing up. So I asked them if they could get me a stand-up desk. And they were saying, like, okay, well, I mean, I was like, can I just stand up behind some shit? Because I did it on a sizzle. But they was like, nah, but we can get you, because it's supposed to be like an office setting. We're supposed to be really working. And then in the morning, we have a meeting like, all right, what's good enough to make this website today?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a video. It's supposed to be a, you know, a filming of us in the office. So they try to make it a little more officey. So they just gave me a high table with a stool.
Cool.
So I could sit down a little bit, but I'm still like standing up.
A little inside baseball there.
Yeah, okay. Funny as hell.
Did he notice that?
Yes, because that was a discussion.
That was the whole, see, that's like the behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. People just see, oh, this is happening and it's perfectly lighted. Right. And they,
and it was, and I don't, I mean, you know, I'm not no diva or nothing. It's only reason there was a discussion was because in the sizzle, I stood up. And they liked it. Obviously, the network liked it, but they wanted me to sit down for the next one. So I was like, damn, why? When they like me standing up, and I like standing up.
Yeah.
So it was cool. The stool is good, though. I like it.
Yeah, I had to do that. I've been filming stuff for the Weather Channel.
Oh, dope.
And we were sitting down on the first one. And yeah. Then the next one, I was like, yeah, let me stand up for this one. And I stood up for all the rest of them.
Samantha Falk? Ring a bell?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Only reason I'm saying she, it was weird. She worked on Bossip for the production company, and she was telling me that the Weather Channel was like looking for comedians to do certain things. So I didn't know if she, you know, was involved or you met her up there.
Oh no, they saw me at a perform at Laughing Skull.
Got it, and then
reached out from there.
Dope.
Yeah, you know Byron Allen bought Weather Channel.
Yes, correct. Yeah, that's what she was telling me. So they were like, they're leaning a little more towards trying to make it look. Everybody's leaning towards funny. Like you can't see a commercial these days without it trying to make you laugh first.
Exactly.
Well, not even these days. It's been like the last 10 years when they're trying to make funny commercials and stuff. So everybody's leaning towards funny. Even Donald Trump.
Lucky for us, we're in the funny business.
Yeah, man, for sure. Yeah, everybody's coming towards us.
Yes.
Yeah, we're here. We're ready for y'all.
So another question we had. Okay. From the Hot Breathiverse here.
Let's go, Breathiverse. Hey. I fuck with y'all. I think I got my hive name from this show, didn't I?
Your hive name.
Yeah, you know, you got the Hot Breathers. That's Beehive for Beyonce. Mm-hmm. What was it, Chronicans?
Yeah.
Chronicans.
We came up with that at the end of the last episode.
Yep. Shout out to the Chronicans and the Brethrens.
Hey.
You feel me?
We got to have a squad.
We got to.
We ain't nothing without them.
We ain't nothing. What was the question, though?
Sorry. Now I was just reminiscing about all of them.
Yeah.
Even though I posted and like four people responded, but it's all good. And one of the questions was just like...
Four is good.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sorry. I don't know why I was... You know, all right. And when you think of vision and where you know you're going to be, it's just those... I almost enjoy... Like I just did a show in South Carolina in front of four people. My name was spelled wrong on the flyer, but hey, I got paid in cash up front.
There you go.
And it covered well over any expenses.
There you go. Where was it, though?
Anderson, South Carolina.
Anderson.
In a shopping small. But
Shopping small.
There were four people, including the booker, but I was like, those are the kind of moments that that make me appreciate. I'm like, yes, I need to appreciate these moments because this is what's going to make you where you want
to
be.
Correct. Definitely. Got to appreciate those moments. I appreciate those moments all the time. Mm-hmm. Like being able to make 4 and 5 and 9 people laugh while you're on stage is helpful for sure.
And that was like one of my first, I did 45 minutes and that was one of the only sets I've been able to go that long. I've been trying to get more headlining sets.
Yeah.
So.
Good.
It's a whole other game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's like, damn, all right. So we were just talking about that. Shout out to James Davis. Jason. He's in town. He was doing comedy theater. And we were just talking about, I don't even know how we got into it, but in terms of like when you start becoming a headlining comedian, it's like, dang, am I supposed to be the headliner?
Right.
And then it's like, damn, can I headline? Like, do I have enough time? But that's one of those things you definitely just got to do.
Yeah.
You never know when you're ready until you start doing it.
Yeah.
Headlining and doing 45, 50 minutes, you know what I'm saying?
Because you're all the way out on the high wire.
All
then.
The way out there. And ain't no telling what happened before you got on stage.
No.
You know what I'm saying? No control.
When I interviewed Carlos Miller on here, he was talking about not being fly-by-night funny, was his quote. And he's like, you got to be funny. He's like, are you funny enough? He's like, when it's 12:30 and five local acts went up doing all their best stuff, can you go up there and be funny for an hour? Do you have what it takes? He was like all like super Yoda about it. And I was like, I don't know if I have what it takes yet. I don't know.
I know the mode of Los you're talking about.
Yeah. Do you have what it takes?
Do you have what it takes? And it's real. Like, I think stand-up in general is something you can watch all the YouTube videos you want, but you can write all the jokes you want, but you have to stand in front of that crowd.
Mm-hmm. You got to take the punches.
Yes.
Like a boxer to come a heavyweight, you got to take the punches.
Because your improv game is something I've seen grow over the years, from just kind of interaction with the crowd when you would host Cloud 9 to now, like, it seems like you can improv just on topics and make them funny.
Yeah, That's one thing I've been blessed with doing hosting my own rooms in Atlanta, like you said, at Cloud 9. I've hosted at every place. I just realized that every comedy show that was on Peter Street for the last probably 9 years, I probably hosted it.
Yeah.
Like Escobar, Slice, 255, Pearl did something once, Cloud 9, obviously, Old Lady Gang, I did something once at the Mexican spot. I can't think of the name of it right now. There's another place that's like on there, but in the back, they had something. I hosted a concert in there. So I started off with improv too. That's another thing. Like if you're out there and you got improv class to take, you got Joel's class to take, you got Rodney Perry's class to take. I say you take them because those things, just learning how to write in your head while things are happening is huge. It's huge. And I know you teach that, and then Ronnie teach that, and improv that I did with Snack Pack helped me with that. So now when I'm up there by myself, like I can make a big room small. Like I told you, I'm doing warm up for Wildin' Out, but I'm doing crowd work. I might do a joke or two here or there, but I'll start off with where you from, or are you in a relationship? And then I can make that funny, move to the next person. Okay, what you do for a living, and make that funny. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's just from hosting all the time.
Crowd work can be intimidating. Do you have any tips on that?
Have a few in your pocket that you know that you can say. If you've got a good relationship joke, if you've got a good joke about an occupation or people just working 9-to-5s in general, that's a good to have in your pocket. If you have a good joke about, like I said, couples or race, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Maybe interracial stuff. Just have like three, four or five jokes that you really like that are general, and maybe you can apply it to people. Or just if you got somebody that's really into it, just dig in. And sometimes the more questions you ask, the funnier shit gets. I don't know what it is about that, but you know, you tried it before, like. Yeah. So you've been married. How long? How'd you meet? You know, did you ever cheat? Like, it just get funnier with the more questions you ask. So, and I just say, don't be scared to do it. A lot of people are scared to get off track and get off their set that they practice in the mirror. Don't be scared. If you're doing comedy, you believe you're funny already. That's the first step. You got to. You can't be doing comedy if you think you're stupid and not funny. So believe in that. When you're doing improv and off the cuff stuff, believe in your funny.
So even when it's not going well on the improv side, it's almost just like pressing through that discomfort.
Correct. But that's what I was saying. And that's a little cheat code fallback, is having a joke that you know is good that pertains to people, a relationship, a job, children, something like that. Yeah, so just have that fallback. So if things aren't going like you thought, if things are getting slow, you're like, all right, well, let me get to this relationship joke that I have by making it seem like I made it up by talking to these two people right here.
Right. Yeah, because I try to improv on stage, but then I still kind of get stuck in the rut of material as well. And I'll be improvising, and I'll be like, I'm going to improvise this whole 5-minute thing about what happened. And then 30 seconds in, you're like, this is not working.
but that's not bad to weave your set. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. Like, weave jokes from your set into the crowd work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Make it look like you're making that joke up that you've done 100 times right there for them.
That's gold.
Yeah. People love that.
You being legitimately, I mean, the first time I saw you hosting, I was just like, yo, this guy, this guy's got the goods. He's got the funny.
I appreciate it.
And hosting is something you learn a lot about. Mm-hmm. And if we want to segue into our question, I was going to say, do you see how we just, see that?
You only got four of them. Got to stretch them out.
No, it's actually only this one is the last one.
Hilarious. Yeah. I was about to say, four questions better than 400 and having to sift through all that by yourself.
I feel you, man.
Good poignant ones.
But I appreciate you bringing me back down to earth and be like, no, four is good.
Engagement, man.
What's wrong with you?
I wouldn't have answered.
And I was excited about getting those, but then, I don't know, we're talking about, I feel like I'm with you, so I felt like I had to be like cool or whatever.
Come on, man.
But you know how you get around, I don't know.
You remember when I wore the same sweatpants every day.
Dude, to the radio show.
Yeah, every day.
You know what I just realized? We both wore like the same thing to the show every week.
Had a uniform.
We did. That's what it was, too. Show it was like a uniform. For free.
All the pictures.
All the way free.
Yeah, all the way. Jesus Christ.
But you got to pay your dues in the beginning, comics.
Got to. All that shit comes back around. Believe that.
Yes.
All the free stuff you do. I was just telling Spencer Neal, one of my favorite young comics, mm-hmm. about that the other day. I seen him kind of like, well, it was months ago, but kind of like in a rut about things. You know how a comedy gets.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yo, all the little things you're doing for free and things like they ain't worth it, the shit comes back around. It's either somebody that's working on it, for it. They saw how you showed up. You were professional. You were funny. And that shit comes back around.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in touching on hosting, which is where I've learned a lot of my comfort on stage and my improv and things like that, Julie Maritek.
Shout out to
Julie
Maritek.
She's a local new comic, mm-hmm. actually, an alum, actually.
Yeah.
And she asked, what are the best and worst parts of hosting?
All right. Shout out, Julie. I know who she is. She's funny.
She's very funny.
Yes, indeed. She's got it. What are the best and worst parts about hosting?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the best parts I already mentioned in terms of, if you're a new comic, you're trying to get like, 30 minutes per week. You know what I'm saying? Like, so say you hit six spots for 5 minutes a week. That's probably what you can get in Atlanta. In New York, you get more. But so for Atlanta comedians, you could probably get 30 minutes a week. The best part about hosting is you could get that 30 minutes in a day. And then go get 30 other minutes. So now you got an hour a week that you've been on stage. That's the best part. Improving crowd work is another part, because that's kind of like on you to do more than the people that's been working on their sets. So that's another good part. I'm struggling because I'm trying to think of a bad part to hosting.
Yeah,
help me out.
Dealing with comedians. When am I going up?
Here we go.
When am I going up?
Correct.
There's one.
Correct. You know what? I've been hosting so long, I got numb to that. But I remember when I first started how much I hated it. I remember it.
Yeah.
And I used to, and it is funny seeing like the young comedians that used to do it to me, and they used to get their own room, and I would look at their face, and I'm like, oh, you got host face.
Yeah.
You got host face right now. Yeah. Look, remember that? Remember that? It's funny to see. It is real funny to see. Yes. So that, yeah, that's the only real bad part. But I never trip about it because I know how important getting on stage is. So I never really like trip about it. It may be a little aggravating, but hopefully no one's ever felt. No, I've never shown that to any comics, especially young new comics out there, that I was aggravated. Because I know what you mean. I know what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So stay with it. Don't get an attitude about it, I say, but stay being mad about not getting on stage. Have that. Keep that hunger. You know what I'm saying? I'd say don't show it, but stay like, oh, okay, I'm going to show them. Keep that in there.
Oh, yeah. I've sat around the show for 3 hours to go up dead last when everybody left, or go up after the show ended.
Yep.
I was like, yo, you said I was going up. They're like, well, the show's over. I was like, well, give me the mic. I'll still go up.
I just went
up after the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just like,
done that plenty of times. Yeah.
For free.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a note you had on hosting in the last episode was you would host these shows. You would host shows for free because, mm-hmm. like, if you're gonna do it for free anyway, might as well do it on your terms.
Correct.
So
correct. Yep.
I recommend everybody host the show.
Yep. And get your time in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get it's a little more valuable if you're getting your time in than using your gas to go to 3-4 spots and get there 5-15 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of any worse. Maybe unless the show is all on you, it's like it's kind of your responsibility.
Oh,
if
you're talking about like
getting
the crowd and stuff like that when people want you. Yeah, I've had shows where they wanted me to be like the promoter too.
Yeah,
so that kind of sucks. But hosting is pretty much legit all the way around.
And it's just promoting a venue. What you just be like, hey, I want to host this comedy show on like one of your down nights and be. You know, comedy's booming here in Atlanta. You can almost sell the scene to them and say you'll do it for free up front and then see if you can build a following as long as they help you build the audience. And then you can talk about money from there.
Correct. Yeah. Build your audience, man, because, you know, it's places, a bunch of places in Atlanta, especially right now in the summertime, they're going to be opening and just having people in there or have a slow night. If you get their night jumping, you can make it work. And we need another spot in Atlanta. We need another Cloud Nine, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We need another Jabba Monkey. We need another Cats, you know what I'm saying? Because there's so many comedians out here and a lot of comedy fans, you know what I mean?
And
so that they need a place to go and see people.
Exactly. Yeah. And any anybody else in other scenes, you know, you can always use more shows, I would say. It can only help nurture the scene.
Right.
That's my two cents on that. Good question, though.
Yes, indeed.
The only other one was from Lili.
Oh, yeah. Shout out, Lili.
Vanessa Fraction's sister who's been on here. But she said, she spelled it F-U-Q, so I'm not really sure what that word is. But she said, why the fuke are you leaving?
The fuck. Hilarious.
And it's to go to L.A., right, to film. Yeah. She's like, why are you leaving us, is what she said.
Oh, man, Lili. Yeah. I mean, I still live here. I'm just going out to work.
Mm-hmm. Well, my man, I know you're extremely busy. You've been filming Wild and Out this entire week. You took your day off to do this, so I appreciate your time, man.
I appreciate you having me, man. I always am honored for people, anybody, especially my peers, to be like, yo, man, I need you on my show.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
Before we get out of here, is there anything else you want the world to know?
Hey, man, Hot Brethren, keep letting people know about my boy's show, first and foremost, his podcast, the live comedy. Hey, is mine going to air?
Yeah. Oh, yours will be on there.
For sure. So you're doing it like a series.
I'm just, like, I do the show every week,
every
Wednesday at Java Monkey in Decatur, Georgia at 8 p.m.
Do know.
But, I record as a live podcast, so every week I'm just going to roll another one out.
I'm
going to post this one Monday, and I'm thinking I'll post that one on Fridays.
All right, perfect.
And then, yours will be on there. And what was messed up about yours is I was really mean and kind of cutting in that one, and it was killing.
Yes.
The next week, I tried to do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Nah.
Nah.
Not at all.
They weren't here for Mean Joe.
They were not into Mean Joe that night. Yeah.
But yeah, brethren, keep watching. Tyler Chronicles is how you follow me on everything and see what I got going on. Season 12 of Wildin' Out. So it's not a season coming up that they filmed already, but it will be. Season 12 Wildin' Out. Boss Up on WeTV coming in August. Really excited about that. Big AF tour in August as well. College students, I'll be coming to a college near you starting in August. It's gonna be a surgical summer. Word to Pusha T.
Surgical summer. My man Tyler Chronicles.
My guy Jay Bizzle.
Thanks for being on Hot Breath.
You know it.
Hot Breath. Bow, bow, bow. That's it, Hot Breathiverse. I appreciate your time hanging out. Thank you to Tyler Chronicles. Go give him a follow. I've got to tell you, my favorite part of this episode is him talking about the working and doing things for free, but knowing that they will pay off in the long term. Those are my probably two big favorite takeaways. If I had to pick some, I would love to know what yours are. Hit us up on social media at Hot Breath Pod on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Of course, I'm at Joel Byers Comedy as well. We talked about the Facebook questions and Instagram questions. Before my interviews, I'm now posting pictures of my guest and saying, hey, comment below with questions you'd like me to ask them. And I want to make this more of a community. I call this the Hot Breathiverse for a reason. I want us to be a cooperative community that is learning from each other and sharing information. So the more I can do that, the more I can make that happen. Please let me know what you'd like to hear, because I've been getting some great feedback. I've been listening to it and trying to apply it, and I appreciate that. So that being said, I'm getting a little out of breath here in this Georgia heat. I'm so excited that I forgot to breathe. So I did also reference my new live podcast. I'll be releasing these on here as well, called the Hot Breath Radio Hour. Every Wednesday at Java Monkey in Decatur, Georgia, I have a lineup of comics that performs, and then I interview them. So it's another opportunity to come see live comedy, but then also learn from it. So I hope you can find time to come out to that. My website is joelbyerscomedy.com, where you can see my schedule and all that other jazz. But really, I'm really trying to build a community here, and I think with your help, even in just sharing it and telling your other comedian friends or comedy fans you know that, hey, I've been wanting a podcast where I can learn about comedy in a realistic way, and just let them know Hot Breath is there for you. So, aww, Hot Breath is there for you. The more you know. Ding! Anyway, I think that's enough. I think you get it. I just want to collaborate and cooperate and no longer coagulate. If those three words, I don't know. There's that liberal arts degree creeping up again. So I think let's get out of here. You know what time it is. It is time to land this plane. So we've got to thank, of course, Amon Garner. He's the engineer keeping all these sounding crystal clear and also doing the video that you will see of this episode, because yes, we are now on YouTube, people. Yes, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Play, and now we're on YouTube. Our Instagram, at Hot Breath Pod, is also all the video clips and some cool quotes and stuff from the interviews. But most importantly, YouTube is where we're getting a lot of new traction. So thanks for that. Joel Byers Comedy is the YouTube channel where you can see me doing stand-up and skits and other stuff as well. But I said all that to say, Amon Garner does it all. He has his own podcast network. Hit him up, Amon Garner, on Facebook. If you have any audio, podcast, music needs, he's also a music producer, hit him up on there. And of course, I would be remiss to not thank, lastly, my wife. I referenced her in the episode, but I am now closing out the episode with it. Erin Byers, thank you for making the theme song for Hot Breath, forever making me indebted to thanking you at the end of every episode. And we have started our own podcast called Byers Life. If you would like to hear the other side of me, that's not all about my passion with comedy, but my passion of having a dog and making kombucha and watching Queer Eye, you know, just your normal married guy stuff. So it's Byers Life on iTunes and Audio Boom and Stitcher and all that jazz if you're interested. But either way, I appreciate your time. So until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath.
Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.